as the thieves that steal our joy. God created us that we could have joy. Now, He didn't promise us we would be happy over everything that ever happened. But God has promised us an inner joy that comes from the Spirit of God who lives within us. And there are thieves that rob us. There are thieves that Satan has seen to that can steal this joy from us. We've already seen circumstances. Circumstances can come and take away our joy. We have seen that people can steal our joy. And this morning we're going to find out that things can steal our joy. Now, there are things I love. I love books. I love to read. I love to collect books. I've got books on back here on Bible. I've got books on Bible at home. I've got books on history. I love to read about history. I know people think I'm crazy, but I love history. That's why I was a history teacher at first. That's my thing. Now, I know Marvin has this beautiful yellow pickup truck. I admire it. And I'm sure he does too, or he wouldn't have it. Charlie Grinnell is not here today, but I can still pick on him. Charlie has a lawnmower, and right there on that lawnmower it says the fastest lawnmower in the world. And if you ever seen Charlie cut grass, you'd believe it. But we all have things that we like. Things that are important to us. And things in and of themselves are not bad. We need things sometimes just to live. It's what we do with those things and where we place those things that make a difference. In verse 19 of Philippians chapter 3, Paul tells us that the enemies of the cross of Christ have set their minds on earthly things. Let us go ahead and read Philippians chapter 3, the verses 1 through 11. My brothers and sisters, be full of joy in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same thing to you again, and it will help you to be more ready. Watch out for those who do evil, who are like dogs, who demand to cut the body. We are the ones who are truly circumcised. We worship God through His Spirit, and our pride is in Christ Jesus. We do not put trust in ourselves or anything we can do. Although I might be able to put trust in myself, if anyone thinks he has a reason to trust in himself, he should know that I have greater reason for trusting in myself. I was circumcised 8 days after my birth. I am from the people of Israel in the tribe of Benjamin. I am a Hebrew, and my parents were Hebrew. I had a strict view of the law, which is why I became a Pharisee. I was so enthusiastic, I tried to hurt the church. No one could find fault with the way I obeyed the law of Moses. Those things were important to me. But now I think they are worth nothing because of Christ. Not only those things, but I think that all things are worth nothing compared with the greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Because of Him, I have lost all those things, and now I know they are worthless trash. This allows me to have Christ and to belong to Him. Now I am right with God, not because I follow the law, but because I believe in Christ. God uses my faith to make me right with Him. I want to know Christ and the power that raised Him from the dead. I want to share in His suffering and become like Him in His death. Then I have hope that I myself will be raised from the dead. Paul divided his life into two parts. Does anybody know the dividing point in Paul's life? Damascus Road, because there was a beautiful stand there where he could buy hot dogs. Why was the Damascus Road the turning point of Paul's life? He he met somebody on that road. He met the Lord Jesus Christ. And this became the turning point of his entire life. When one encounters Jesus, it is a life-changing event. Or at the very least, it should be a life-changing event. For when he meets us, when we meet Jesus, he inevitably calls us. He'll say, Bert, come follow me. Or Henry, he'll say, Henry, you may be 99, but come follow me. Or he might say, Lolly, come follow me. Jesus just doesn't wave and say, good day. He challenges us to come and follow him. And this call should not be taken lightly, because Jesus asked a few things of us beforehand. Remember the story Jesus told? You've got to be willing to give up mother. You've got to be willing to let the dead bury the dead. You've got to be willing to give up job sometimes and follow after him. Jesus said, make sure you count the cost. In today's lesson, I've titled Learning How to Count. Because we need to be an accountant to follow after Jesus. And I'm terrible at mathematics. But learning how to count. God has called us to change our way of thinking and to change the way we live and act as people, to come and follow him. And many people today, and I'm afraid even many Christians today, are slaves to things. Things that keep us from properly following Jesus Christ, his Lord. And Jesus says we need to seriously think about these things. Because things help us, and how we think help us to think about where and how important things are in our lives. But we are slaves to things, and thereby things can take away the real joy of knowing Christ. In Paul's case, many of the things that he had to give up were not bad things at all. They were things that were important to Paul, and he had faced up to that point all of his thinking and life on these particular things that he was required to give up. But Paul willingly gave them up to follow after Jesus. You say, what did Paul give up? First up, Paul was called to give up his circumcision. What was that for a Jew, circumcision? Does anybody know? It was, I think, because circumcision meant you were a earthly or a fleshly descendant of Abraham. It meant you were a child of promise. You were God's people. And Jesus said, Paul, you've got to give up your circumcision because it means nothing today in the new covenant. He was called to give up his national heritage. Paul was to no longer be a Jew. The very thing that made a Hebrew was circumcision. And God said it no longer counts. Listen to what Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 2, 8 through 14. Be sure that no one leads you away with false and empty teaching that is only human, which comes from the ruling spirits of this world and not from Christ. All of God lives in Christ fully, even when Christ was on earth. And you have a full full and true life in Christ, who is ruler over all rulers and powers. Also in Christ you have a different kind of circumcision. A circumcision not done with hands. It is through Christ's circumcision, that is His death, that you were made free from the power of your sinful self. When you were baptized, you were buried with Christ, and you were raised up with Him through your faith in God's power that was shown when He raised Christ from the dead. When you were spiritually dead because of your sins, and because you were not free from the power of your sinful self, God made you alive with Christ, and He forgave all our sins. I hope you notice, and then he goes, he canceled the debt, which listed all the rules we failed to follow. He took away that record with its rules and nailed it to the cross. But I hope you notice the tool that God has used to circumcise our hearts. Even though it's hard for us to understand, He used baptism to give us the Spirit that circumcised our hearts. Paul now realized what we too should realize, that true circumcision is not done to the flesh, but to the heart, the inward part of man. And Paul lets us know clearly that God used baptism as His tool to do this. Because in baptism is where we meet the blood of Christ. Baptism is where we are buried with Christ. Baptism is where we receive the forgiveness of sins. Baptism has meaning, even though we think of it as a work. It's a work of God and not a work of man. But God has chosen this way. Not only did He have to give up that idea of circumcision, Paul said, I was much more than just a normal Jew. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. What does that mean to be of the tribe of Benjamin? Well, first off, who was the first king of Israel? Saul, of the tribe of Benjamin. Secondly, when all the other tribes fell away from Judah, who remained with Judah? Benjamin were mighty warriors. My goodness, I was telling my son about it. They were left-handed people. A lot of them were left-handed. And they were good at slingshots. They had those old type that swing over your head. But they could kill a soldier with full armor on by hitting him between the eyes, right where the hole is in the helmet. So good could they use that slingshot. So to be a Benjamin was saying a lot. And Paul said, I was of the tribe of Benjamin, but in Christ, that has not worked anything. He also said, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. That meant that not only was he a Hebrew and his parents a Hebrew, it more than likely meant that that was the language that they spoke at home, the Hebrew language. But many spoke Greek and other languages. But Paul said, hey, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. This language is what we spoke at home. But he was asked to give all that up because it didn't count. Only the spiritual things of Christ count anymore. Secondly, he said, I was a Pharisee. He had to give up being a Pharisee. Do we really realize, we have a bad connotation of Pharisees, but do you realize what it meant to be a Pharisee? That meant you were a strict follower of the law of Moses. If anybody came close to fully obeying the law, you were going to be a Pharisee. The Pharisees made up the largest part of the Sanhedrin. That was the ruling party of Israel. They were the teachers of the law. That meant if your kids were going to go learn, they went to a Pharisee to learn. They were the scribes. They are the ones that they didn't have to need this. They write the Bible. Can you imagine that, Jay, having to, if you want a Bible at home, you have to come here and copy it, word for word, sentence for sentence. This book about this thing, oh, but that's what the scribes did. They were very important. Paul learned at the feet of, I can't say this name in English now, Gamaliel. I learned the German pronunciation. future. He very likely would have been part of the governing Sanhedrin one day. He probably would have been a famous teacher, maybe even famous in his own teacher, when we realize the mind, the sharp mind that man had. He had a future to be a student of, I can't even say it again, Gamaliel?
Gamaliel
was equivalent of getting a law degree from Harvard University. What did Paul say? It was trash. It wasn't worth anything in Christ Jesus. And thirdly, he had to give up the thought that salvation was not just for the Jewish nation, but the people of God were taken off. For a Jew, last time. This is what God asked Paul to give up. Basically, everything that made Paul was given up. These are only things that today mean nothing. All of his life he had been raised to believe these things. And Jesus said, Paul, these are just things. If you want true salvation, true joy in life, and I was in class this morning, this was Nathaniel. We had in the story a man hanging on a branch over a cliff, and God said, do you want me to save you? This man said, yes. You know what God told him? Let You know what that man said? Nathaniel, what did he say? Yeah. Is there anybody else out there? God, when we meet him, ask us to trust him, but he asks us to let go of what and who we are today. Paul, after much prayer and fasting, decided for Christ. We read in Acts 9, verse 9, for 3 days Saul could not see and did not eat or drink. That meant he was fasting. And in verse 11, Jesus himself is talking to Ananias, and here's what the Lord says to him. Get up, go to Straight Street, find the house of Judas, and ask for a man named Saul from city of Tarsus. He is there now praying. Paul fasted and prayed for 3 days before the Lord sent somebody to him. He wanted to give Saul time to count the cost. Is it worth following Jesus? Paul had to learn to count spiritually. Are we willing to count spiritually? In verse 7, Paul said, those things were important to me, but now I think they are worth nothing because of Christ. Paul learned to count the things that were important. These things had been important to him. We saw what for a future this man could have had had he remained a Pharisee. Of course, 70 years later, he probably would have died in Jerusalem, defending Jerusalem against Rome. That he didn't know at the time. But as far as he was concerned, his future was bright as a Pharisee, a Hebrew of Hebrews. But he said, these treasures, or what I thought of as treasures in the end, really they're worth nothing. Because they weren't as important as what he gained from what he threw away. Yet, these treasures brought to Paul prestige. They gave him a name. They made him as somebody. But these things were selfish. because they did not glorify God. Becoming a Christian did not make Paul less of a Jew. In fact, it made him a complete Jew. In Galatians 3, we read, he is a Jew inward. He who is a true Jew is a true Jew inwardly, not outwardly. And Paul had learned it. And he did not lower his standard of morality. As a matter of fact, he had to increase his standard of morality. Jesus said, adultery is not just the act. If you even think the act, you have committed adultery. So Paul's spirituality and morality increased. We think of the Pharisees being great moral people, great religious people, but they were shallow. And Paul realized this when he met the Lord on the road to Damascus. Romans 12, 1 and 2, the New Century Version. So brothers and sisters, since God has shown us great mercy, I beg you to offer your lives as a living sacrifice to Him. Your offering must be only for God and pleasing to Him, which is the spiritual way for you to worship. Do not change yourselves to be like the people of this world, but be changed within by a new way of thinking. Then you will be able to decide what God wants for you. You will know what is good and pleasing to Him and what is perfect. Paul may have lost his religion. Paul may have lost his future. But his gain was much, much more. First off, he gained a knowledge of the Christ. What does it mean to know Christ? In John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Knowing Jesus is knowing eternal life. Christianity is Christ. Christianity is salvation through Jesus. Christianity is knowing Jesus as Lord. And Paul experienced this faith in his life. He learned Christ by living as a Christian. To know Christ is to experience Jesus as Lord, brother, Savior, because He sticks with you to the end. But secondly, he gained the righteousness of Christ. And Nathaniel and Anna, this is what I was talking about in class today. He gained the righteousness of Christ. Let me ask you two. I mentioned this in class. See how good you paid attention. Can we be righteous by obeying the law of Moses? No. Why not? Because we cannot obey the law perfectly. We cannot live the life perfectly. Therefore, we sin. And when we sin, we're lost. We're not righteous. So how do we gain righteousness? We gain the righteousness of Christ, once again, through baptism. Because what happens when we are baptized? Paul tells us, when you are baptized, let me go ahead and read it. Why am I telling you? I can read it just as well as say it. Listen to this. This is from Galatians 3, 23 through 27. Before this faith came, we were all held prisoners by the law. We had no freedom until God showed us the way of faith that was coming. In other words, the law was our guardian leading us to Christ, so that we would be made right with God through faith. Now the way of faith has come, and we are no longer under a guardian. You were all baptized into Christ, and so you were all clothed with Christ. This means that you are all children of God through Jesus Christ.
Now the question for Nathaniel and for Anna again. They were in class. See, who was the only one who ever completely, perfectly kept the law of Moses? Jesus Christ. That meant he's the only human being that ever earned the right to go to heaven. He was righteous because of that. So how do we become righteous? When we are baptized, what does Paul say happens? We put on Christ. The word put on is the same word that you would use if I said, Ruth, put on her clothes this morning. That's what happens when we are baptized. We put on Jesus Christ. And so Bergman, when God looks down, does he see Bert Christensen sitting there? He sees the Son. Righteous and perfect. Now, we all know Bert's not perfect. But at least this is what Rosario was telling me. Oh, no, no. My mistakes. He doesn't, Marvin. When he looks at you and me, he sees Jesus Christ, his Son. Because we have put him on in baptism, and the righteousness of Jesus Christ makes us perfect. And that is what God sees. Thank goodness for the grace and the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ and God. We are righteous because Jesus was righteous. We are righteous because we have had faith in Christ and have obeyed that faith. Yes, Paul had to give up religion, his religion, but what he gained was the righteousness that he so wanted that he never could attain. Because Christ could do what Paul couldn't do, obey the law perfectly. And thirdly, Paul gained fellowship with Christ. When Paul became a Christian, it was not the end of Paul. It was just the beginning of the real Paul. His experience with Christ was so tremendous, really it transformed his life. He went from persecutor of the church to preacher. So he went from persecutor to persecuted for the name of Jesus. And throughout his life, he lived to glorify Jesus, to obey his will. He called Jesus Master, but Jesus became his friend and companion as he walked his Christian life. Yes, Paul gained far more than he lost. In fact, the gains were so thrilling to Paul that he considered everything else, Philip, trash, refuse. Not worth what I've gained. The important things have eternal value, and those things are only found in Jesus Christ. Paul had developed a spiritual mind and could see earthly things from the heaven's point of view. People who cherish earthly things will never find true joy because they are afraid they're going to lose those treasures. That car might get scratched. My favorite plant might die. In my case, definitely will. The way I take care of that. But a Christian's treasure is stored in heaven and cannot rust or be destroyed or stolen. And that is our faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe now is a good time for you to become a captain. To evaluate the things that matter most to you. Because this is an important fact that we can never forget. Our account, when we try to live the Christian life all by ourselves, is zero. But God said, Jesus has got more than enough. I will credit your account for His. What matters to you? What is important to you? We need to examine ourselves and our hearts. Because the important things are in Jesus Christ. If you would like to decide to follow Jesus, if you would like to decide to be baptized and wash away your sins or start your life new in Him, come as we stand and sing.